Morning, I just want to mention to you, there's a little two-page writing that Horatio Bonar, who was a pastor, a Scottish pastor from 1808 to 1889, that's the date of his life, wrote this little article, and it's called The Watchman. And there's copies back by the offering plate, and I encourage you to take one home and read it. It's a challenging little article about what our responsibility is to be a watchman for Christ. This morning we want to continue our study through the book of Revelation. And as we come to Revelation chapter 16, it's speaking of the vial of bowl judgment. When you stop and think and look at our world today, it appears that evil is winning and righteousness is not prevailing. Not the first time in the world that that's been the case. But I want you to know that ultimately God is looking. There's a song that we sing where it talks about battle that's going on. It's in our hymnals. And it said that even though righteousness or goodness, Christians are being put to the scaffold, God stands in the background observing, and His righteousness will prevail. I want you to be lifted up and understand that God is in control. When you look at the book of Revelation, you cannot read this book if you do not have faith. Because none of these things have happened, and we're living in a world where wickedness is prevailing more and more, it appears every day. I mean, some of the things that are happening, it's almost indescribable what they're doing to people. Yet the Bible tells us that these things are going to happen. But it says God understands and God observes, and the day of His judgment is coming. The bowl judgments occur during the last half of the tribulation period. They are seven things or marks of God's wrath being poured out upon the unbelieving population of the world that will not repent. God has given them ample opportunity, even during this time of history, to repent. But they refuse. They'd rather follow their father, father of lies, Satan, then turn to their Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It's a situation that's almost hard to believe. But yet you begin to look in our own nation, you see a microcosm of that very thing happening here. We have had in America freedoms that no other nation in the world has ever experienced. We've had greater opportunity than any other nation in the world has ever had. I remember even when I was a young boy and I was in high school, I'd entered a speech contest, and it was put on by one of the orders of a group of men that were considered patriots at the time. And I started out my speech by making statements that were inflammatory statements for the day. Because when I was in high school, Vietnam War was on. And I basically made statements, this is wrong, and then this wrong, and this is wrong. And then I opened up after those inflammatory statements. I got their attention, by the way. Because they were all sitting there about ready to come up and yank me off the stage after my opening remarks. But then I said shocking words, to say the least. And then I went on to explain the great privilege we had in America and how we need to take advantage of preserving that. God has given to us in America opportunity that no other nation has had, and part of it is because of our Christian heritage and Christian values. But I want you to understand what has happened over the last 30 to 40 years. The church has abandoned the Bible. Pastors have abandoned teaching God's Word. Christians have become enamored with the world more than they are with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you there's no other line of defense against wickedness and evil than our Lord and Savior Jesus. And if His people deny His Word, abandon Him, and replace Him with the things of this world, we're no longer men and women of faith. It's interesting when you look at the Bible. At the time of the apostles, there was great darkness in the world, just as dark as it is today. Yet they accomplished great and mighty things because they walked by faith. Those of you who went through the book of Colossians with us, and now we're going through the book of Galatians on Wednesday night, it's interesting to look at Paul and Paul's attitude. This was one who was driven and motivated by Satan, even though he was a Jew and thought that he was doing the God of the Bible's work, persecuting and killing Christians. But when he saw the light and was transformed in his character, he became so zealous for Christ, he would share the gospel with whoever he met and wherever he went and whatever his circumstance. When he went to the Greeks, he talked to them about the gospel. When he went to the Macedonians, he talked to them about the gospel. When he went to the island of Crete and was helping to gather wood after a shipwreck, what did he do? He presented the gospel of Christ to those men and women who had never heard of such a thing before. He was unashamed of the gospel. Today, I think many people are ashamed of it. We were looking at, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Abraham, when he and Lot split up. And one of the things in the Sunday school lesson never really, really had caught me the way it did today. Abraham and Lot proclaimed the same faith in the same God. As a matter of fact, Peter calls Lot a righteous man. But there was a big difference between Lot and his uncle Abram. Abraham was a man who walked by faith and not by sight, and Lot was a man who walked by sight and not by faith. I want to take and challenge you and help you to think that it may very well be in the weeks ahead that we're going to be challenged. Are we going to walk by what we see? Or we're going to have faith in God and His Word. Because there are forces in this world that want to silence you. They view you as the biggest threat to them being able to accomplish their goals. A bigger threat than the Army of the United States, a bigger threat than the economy of the United States. You are the biggest threat because you believe in the God of heaven and they believe in the Satan of hell. And they know their God can't stand against our God. But the problem is God's people are lacking faith in our God. It was interesting to listen and look at Lot and Abraham. And Lot looked down and he saw this beautiful valley. If you go to Israel today, where Sodom and Gomorrah are, it's a hot, dry place. There's nothing there. It's the valley of the Dead Sea. Israel has brought water in, and there's things just like God foretold. There'd be blossoming in the desert, which is happening. But for the most part, if you look at that, it's a wasteland. At the time of Lot, it wasn't. God hadn't judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and if you look at that, when he destroyed those cities, something happened that changed the whole climate and everything. But at the time of Lot, it was beautiful. Well watered. You go to Israel today and you see where Abraham chose. They call Israel the land of rocks. And it is the land of rocks. There's no shortage of rocks in Israel. Go up in the mountains and on the hills of Israel, and there are rocks everywhere. That's where Abraham, he said, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And you know what? Lot went down to the valley where it was going to be easy. Abraham went up to the hills where there was rocks. But he had to have faith in God that God would provide the food for his animals. Provide for his needs in the midst of something that was really hard to do. But he did it by faith. You're coming and you're looking at the book of Revelation. I remember as a kid going to prophecy conferences with my folks. Gone to prophecy conferences with my wife after we got married. Listening to a man the other day who said, you know, one of the problems he sees in the church today is we're very conference orientated. Our heads are about this big, but we don't do anything with it. I think God's going to make us do something with it. Because we're beginning to see prophecy lived out right before our eyes. How are we going to live? Are we going to live as men and women of faith, doing what we know is right in the eyes of God, even though the world would tell us, don't do that, and if you do it, there's going to be consequences? I want you to realize there's a day coming. Day coming where God is going to judge all this wickedness and evil. I could make you sick to your stomach if I told you all the things that these people are doing. It's beyond evil. They love death. And they hate life. Why? Their God, Satan, is dead. But God is observing it all. Chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers, and mountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For these are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle that the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he be walked naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, which is over a hundred pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Do you believe that's coming? Do you believe God's word's true? Last year, and all the nonsense was going on with COVID and masks and all this. One night I couldn't sleep and I kept thinking, these people don't understand. They don't have to answer to me. Who am I? And I'd go down to City Hall and I'd make my little speech and I'd be nervous and get upset and not say it right. But I was thinking, they don't have to answer to me, but one day they're going to have to answer to God. You know, things are being put in place right now for this next year to be worse than last year. A lot worse. And as many lies as they told last year to get their agenda accomplished, they're already telling more lies than they told last year. And the sad thing is, people believe the lies. But they don't know what they're going to have to face. got me so angry? You realize every one of you has got a special gift. Besides, if you're a Christian this morning, you've got salvation. You've got the Lord in your life. That's the greatest gift of all because you've been transformed. But everyone, every person, every man, woman, and child in this world was created in the image of God. There's some interesting things that the scriptures say. Is God just saying things, or does he really mean it? It says, children are a blessing from the Lord. The man whose quiver is full of them is blessed. He told Noah when he stepped off the ark, go forth, replenish the earth, multiply. Want to do today? They're in the process of making they want every person to be infertile so you can't have kids. And they want people that they deem unworthy to die. Old people, they don't have any worth. You know what the Bible says about old people? It says you and I are to honor our elders. Says that when you get gray hair and you've walked with the Lord, there's wisdom that should come with it. And the youth should seek the wisdom of their elders. You know what they want to do with people with gray hair? Lock them up and kill them. Because what use are they to us? That is Satan, and it's right out of the pits of hell. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. During World War II, over 6,000 Jews were killed by Adolf Hitler. These people didn't believe it would ever happen to them. They were good citizens. Many of them held great jobs. They were doctors, lawyers, professors, musicians, owned businesses. But what God loves, Satan hates. They never thought it would happen to them. Some of them were warned, get out, get out. He's got plans. He's going to kill you. Not us. You know, I hold this position. I hold this authority. They'd never do that to me. I'm a professor at the university. I'm a musician in the symphony orchestra. It would never happen to me. But it did. And they couldn't understand why. There were Christians who then the same thing happened to them in Germany. I think of one whose name was Betsy Kendall, Corey's sister. Corey gets all the fanfare because she survived and she wrote a book and made a movie about her, but she said Betsy was a rock. Betsy was a sickly one. But what they did is they tried to hide the Jews so that they couldn't steal them. When they found out they were hiding Jews, they put them on trains to the camp. And when Betsy was in prison, some amazing things happened. Number one, Corey had a Bible when they were taken. And if you've ever heard or seen what happened, they strip you naked, take everything you had, give you some awful clothes, spray you down with de-lysine, equipment, shave off your hair, and put you in a camp with in a barracks with hundreds of other women and hundreds of other men. Corey was standing in line, she had her Bible. She said, God, I need
my Bible.
All of a sudden, she was the next one that was going to be taken, and there was a big disruption, and the guard that was going to pat her down got distracted and said, "Go!" And she went right through, and she had a Bible. That Bible was taken into their barracks. Know who read that Bible every night to the other women in that barracks? Betsy. Betsy was sharing her faith with these women, the majority of whom would never make it out of that barracks. But some of them would end up living eternally because of Betsy's faith. Betsy viewed that horrible situation and she said, "Corey, we've got a ministry here. We've got a mission here. These women need to hear the gospel." I don't know what's coming. All I know is God's in control. The thing is, are we going to be men and women of faith? Do we believe that God will judge unrighteousness? Prophet had the courage to stand up in the city hall meeting and tell them, "What you are doing is really wicked. But one day you need to understand, you're not accountable to the citizens of Fargo. You're accountable to the God of heaven. And if you're lying and you're doing that which is evil and wicked, you will stand before Him and give account of why you did it. And there's not going to be anything to cover your sin." As you looked at these, and we don't have time this morning to, maybe next week, I don't know, go through and look at each one. And you can look and see that many of these are the same plagues that plagued Egypt. People say, "Well, blood, where would blood come from?" If Jesus can turn water into wine, He can turn water into blood. And He did it in Egypt. He can do it again. These are so supernatural that the men know they're coming from their Creator. They know who is pouring out His wrath on them, and yet, instead of crying out in repentance like they did in Nineveh, they curse God. How many times do you see that they curse God? I think it was 3 of the 7 bowls that are being poured out, they're cursing God. The wickedness of Satan is unbelievable. And the things of this world, you need to understand that strings and mirrors. He wants you to get enamored with the strings and mirrors so you don't really see what's the real program. It's amazing if you've seen the guys that are sleight of hand and magicians. Some of them are really amazing. They can do what appears to be the impossible. One of the things that they do is they get you distracted so you don't see what they're really doing. And then all of a sudden you go, "Wow, how'd they do that?" But they did something to distract you so you wouldn't see what really happened. And that's exactly what Satan's doing. Distracting us with, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, fear. Fear over a virus that's no worse than some of the worst influenza outbreaks we've had. But he made it sound like it was the second coming of the bubonic plague, so that everyone walked in fear, and while we were walking in fear, he's doing all this stuff over here. Preparing his kingdom, preparing his people to take over, preparing his one world government, preparing his one world economy, preparing his one world religion. Guess what? Prepared. Don't be enamored with the things of this world, and don't, if they want, if he wants you to do things that you know are against this book, and Satan will tell you, but if you can see him, don't believe him. Even if you would gain the whole world but lose your soul, what have you gained? I'm looking out here, and unfortunately I think I'm about the oldest one. I know I'm pretty much the grayest one here today. And you know, I was just stopping and thinking, my grandpa died when he was 74, my dad died when he was 79, my other grandpa died when he was 82. I'm 69. Let's say everything goes back to normal. What do I have left to live? Even if I wouldn't get healthier in an accident, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years, would you trade away truth for 20 years? Would you trade away truth for your house? Would you trade away truth for your job? Or do you have faith in God's word and what he says? If you'll be there to surround us like we read in Psalm 125, and he's going to be there to judge the wicked. Because he was, he is, Satan's not going to be forever. His day is coming too. Do you believe it? Well, I challenge you this morning, be a watchman. Walk by faith. Have God direct your path and trust in Him. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us understand this. Help us to apply these truths to our life. And help us to seek to walk according to the power of your Spirit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one thing, I'd like to invite you all to stay for a meal downstairs and a time of fellowship. So in closing, if you would turn with me to 487. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus in His precious blood, blessings to bestow, He offers now His crimson flood to wash us white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Lord, I pray that you just go with us in the week ahead. Give us opportunities to be a light in the midst of the darkness that is around us. Help us to proclaim the truth to others. This we ask.